Family, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding that, being taught by your Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be opened to receive all that leads to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Poor old Thomas. I think this man gets an incredibly bum rap. Try for a moment to put yourself in his place. For 3 whole years, you have been a disciple of an absolutely extraordinary man. The things that this man, Jesus, said were amazing and rang true to the very core of your being. Jesus' words were spoken with power, conviction, and authority. Jesus spoke as if he believed what he was saying. And the things that Jesus did were simply just unbelievable, or at least they would have been, if you had seen them with your own eyes. This man, Jesus, walked on water. Try it sometime and see what happens, my friends. He fed over 5,000 people with merely 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And the people were all able to eat their fill, so much so that there were several basketfuls of bread left over. Give that one a shot. Jesus made the blind to see. Run over to the hospital after the service today and give that one a whirl. 3 times Jesus brought dead people back to life. For Thomas, his whole life with the Lord must have been one earth-shattering experience after another. Thomas and the other apostles must have gone to bed every single night looking at each other saying, What in the world is this guy going to do next? And then suddenly, it all came crashing down real quick. One of the other apostles and one of your best friends betrays him. Jesus is mocked, beaten, and sentenced to die. And the man that you thought was untouchable is hoisted up on a cross and crucified. The most humiliating, the most painful, the most horrific, the most hideous form of death. Your whole world crumbles. 3 years of your life go totally down the drain. And you may be next, because the authorities know that you are one of his disciples. So if you are not careful, if you don't lay low, you might be arrested, beaten, or much worse. And then, 3 days later, after Jesus is crucified and after his burial, some of the disciples say to you that Jesus is alive. Alive? Are you insane? Do they think that you're stupid? You must be kidding me. Dead people don't come back to life, especially a man who has been beaten and crucified. Who doesn't know this? Clearly, your friends have spent too much time at the pub, or perhaps they were the victims of a mass hallucination, or maybe the best explanation is that they have mistaken someone else for Jesus. I mean, how often have you, Thomas, been mistaken for your twin brother? But Jesus? Alive? No way. Boys, you need some proof on that one. Not until I take my finger and stick it into the holes in his hands that the nails made will I believe. And then, a week later, literally out of nowhere, Jesus is standing in front of you, bodily. And he's not just standing there. He's talking to you. Right here, Thomas, Jesus says. Take your finger and place it right here where the nail was. Here, Thomas. Give me your hand and put it in my side where the lance ripped open my heart. See, Thomas, and touch, Thomas. Believe, Thomas. Is it possible to describe how Thomas's life was forever changed as a result of all of this? Someone who you have lived with for 3 whole years, who is your teacher and your friend, has risen from the dead. Before your very eyes is someone who cannot die. And because he cannot die, you come to understand, since you now know that he has gone to the cross for you, that now you can't really die. Or, even if you do die, death does not have the final word. For Jesus has the last word, and he wants you to live. Suddenly, it dawns on you that your friend Jesus is stronger than death. The one thing that everybody is afraid of simply no longer scares you. As a result, life is forever different. Everything, absolutely everything changes for you. The way that you see the world, the way that you perceive reality, and the things that you once imagined were most important, all these notions suddenly get blown apart you realize that the most important thing, the absolutely most important thing, is to tell people about this. To tell them about Him, about God, who out of His indescribable love for us has become one of us, lived for us, suffered on the cross for us, died for us, was buried for us, and has risen from the dead for us, and cannot die. To share with others about Jesus, who offers us all mercy, regardless of the sins of our past, how often we have sinned, or with whom. God gives us mercy. God desires and delights to share His divine, abundant, eternal, and ever-flowing life and joy with us, His children. That Sunday after Easter, Thomas's whole life turned upside down when he saw Jesus and put his finger in his hands where the nails had pierced. These were not little tidbits added to Thomas's life. They were not just little factoids that somehow got amassed into all the rest of his experiences. This changed everything for Thomas. His work, his education, family, friends, daily life, and decision making were all taking on a new meaning, a better meaning, a greater meaning. In fact, the most significant meaning, because of the factual event of Jesus' dying on that tree and being resurrected from the dead. Is that the case for you and me? Has the historical reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the second person of God, the Holy Trinity, God in the flesh, truly changed everything for you and for me? Friends, what could be more important in life than responding appropriately to what God has done for us? At this point, I bet some of you are thinking or saying to yourselves, yeah, well, Pastor Ryan, Thomas was able to see Jesus. He heard Him. He touched Him. And you're right. But so can you, right here and right now, when we gather together to faithfully worship God. In every faithful worship service, in every reading of the Holy Scriptures, in every act of confession, in every song sung, in every prayer spoken, in every profession of faith, in every celebration of the sacraments, baptism, and Holy Communion, we experience God. But one of the problems is that we think too little of what spiritually happens when we come together to worship God faithfully. Because in these ways, we see God, we hear Him, we touch Him, we encounter Him, we spiritually receive Him, and He means to surge through us. He adopts us as His own and brings us into His fold when we are baptized. He speaks to us really in His holy word, the Holy Bible. He truly forgives us and cleanses us when we confess our sins. In one way or another, God is spiritually giving Himself to us in every single act of true Christian worship. He is truly here with us now in this place as we worship Him together. How much more personal can He get? And at every worship service, you and I just like Thomas in that upper room on that Sunday after Easter, become witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We must understand that after every worship service, you and I are sent out into that world to our families, friends, neighbors, colleagues, classmates, strangers, sojourners, and even our enemies. We are sent into a world wanting purpose and meaning, which is trying to amuse itself to death and escape from despair. Through Jesus, we have the answer to their despair and problems. And Jesus is the only answer. How will they know this? And how will they escape their despair unless we, who are sent out by God, tell them? We are sent out to tell others about the one and only true God that we meet and experience here, of the one who has risen from the dead, the one who is rich in mercy, full of truth, and the one who can never die. Upon seeing the wounds of the risen Jesus, Thomas responds with the most robust profession of faith in the Gospel of John. My Lord and my God. The pairing of the titles Lord, Kyrios, and God, Theos, recalls the naming of God as the Lord God, or the Lord your God, and the address, O Lord God, all throughout the Bible. This pairing is found throughout the Old Testament, as in the psalmist's prayers to my God and my Lord in Psalm 35:23. Through this title, Thomas identifies the risen Jesus with the Lord God, who is Yahweh himself. Faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, made possible in part by the gospel itself, leads to the reception of life in his name. Throughout the Gospel of John, we see the importance of receiving or accepting the divine word, who is Jesus. To those who receive Jesus, the divine word, Jesus gives power to become children of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. By accepting the incarnate word in true Christian faith, Jesus' disciples receive the gift of eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus offers, which becomes our participation in the divine communion with God. The gospel is an invitation to the heavenly life. The gospel is an invitation to communion with God. And the gospel is an invitation to receive God spiritually himself. The Apostle Thomas and the Apostle John encourage us to accept this invitation by believing in the risen Jesus, to whom they then bear witness. The question posed to all of us today, you and me, whatever our age or background may be, is this: do you believe in God? In his power and guidance, love and truth and mercy? But with that question, we must also realize that believing in God is not merely about intellectual assent to a proposition, like, I believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's not belief. To believe in God means to have our whole lives oriented around Jesus, around God, because we have experienced him and because we have spiritually received him. To believe in Jesus means to rely entirely on him. Believing in Jesus means for you and me to live our lives regardless of the trials that we experience with unshakable confidence in him. Not in our own circumstances or in ourselves, but in him for whom nothing is impossible. Believing in God means leaning so far over on him that we would fall over if he weren't there. That's belief. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead turned Thomas's whole life upside down. May it do the same for you and for me. Now, I had an experience when I was first starting to date my wife. Trust me, this is not going to be a pastoral example here of you, Sophie. But my wife and I went to a Christian concert over at Hope College, a Christian college. And at this Christian college, on the stage was a huge cross. I'm talking about a cross big enough that if you wanted to lift up this cross, it probably would take about 3 guys to lift it up. And during this concert, this Christian concert, just all of a sudden, the cross fell. Bam. The band stopped. Everybody went quiet. And the cross laid there lying down. I don't know what it is, but that day in my life haunts me. Because at that time, seeing the cross lying there, knowing what the cross represents, that the empty cross represents, that God lived for us, he died for us, and he was risen for us, and seeing it lying there, I don't know what it is, but to this day, I feel ashamed that I didn't right then, at that moment, get up and lift high the cross. After seeing what God gives to each and every one of us, after what God has done for us, God tells us to carry our crosses and to lift it high. Because this, my friends, is the message of salvation for the world. Gentlemen, high school students, we got one there and one there and one up there. Wherever you go, we often ask, what can we do to bring God into this world? Whatever you do, whether it's in school, whether it's with work, whether it is in your studies, whether it is in your relationships with individuals, whether it is your interactions with whoever it may be, your neighbors, your a stranger, a sojourner, your enemies. Work for the Lord and lift high his cross. Because this is the message that saves. Has us meeting God changed everything in our lives? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one and only true God, to you be all the glory and praise. For through you and by you we have redemption, salvation, truth, and abundant life. Jesus, our Lord and our God, may all that you have done for us be on our lips, so that others may hear of your mercy and come to know you as their Lord, their Savior, and their God. Glory be to you, Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.